our first season of receive. And with receive, it seemed fitting to look at this biblical ethic of hospitality and hospitality in particular to strangers. And the basis for this ethic in the Old Testament, as we heard in the Deuteronomy reading, the basis was that to love the stranger was that God loves a stranger, first off, and second off, you were strangers. And so if anyone is more prepared to receive strangers, it's those who have also experienced being a stranger. And then the church also takes up the same ethic on the same grounds, but added to that is Jesus' close identification with the stranger. That when we receive the stranger, Jesus says, "You are receiving me." In our gospel reading this morning, we hear Jesus' clear invitation to the weary and heavy burdened, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." This morning we proclaim, Christ makes room to receive you. Christ makes room to receive you. I pray the Lord be with you. So over the summer, I like to try to visit two or three churches. And sometimes it's churches that are where friends are at. Sometimes churches where I just happen to be nearby. So this year I was in Decatur for a Sunday, and it was just Henry and I. Laura had a conference in Colorado, and so we made a quick trip down to Decatur. That's where I grew up, where my parents are. And I wanted to visit this church that I had. It was kind of a relatively new church. It wasn't around when I had lived in Decatur, and I wanted to visit it, and I actually left Henry at home with Grandma and Grandpa, and just went and visited by myself. And that was an interesting experience. Part of the reason why I like to visit other churches is because it's good to remember what it's like to be the new person, to be a visitor somewhere, to be the stranger. And so as I was driving there, I got there. The church is in an old brick building in downtown Decatur, and it's in a building where it used to be an old funeral home. Actually, there was no parking lot. There was a parking garage across the street where everyone was parked at. And as I was pulling in, it was clear that everyone else that was pulling in, we were all going to the same place. You know, that there was nobody else in downtown Decatur on Sunday morning except for this reason. To be at this church building. So people are getting out of cars, and, you know, I'm kind of like, I get those, that, like, butterflies in my stomach that you get when you're, like, going to a new place of just, like, you know, just that feeling in your gut of, like, your guard, you know, your alertness goes up, and you're just like, this is unfamiliar, and I'm new, and everyone else kind of probably knows each other, and they know what to expect, and I'm the only one, and there's just sort of like that primal instinct of, like, to be a little bit on guard and super alert, hyper aware, very self-conscious. So and just a feeling of vulnerability. There were greeters at the door, and you know, I'm not sure if they could tell if I was new or not. You know, they said good morning. I stepped inside. I walked up a couple steps, and there was the coffee station. I was like, oh, good, you know, safety, coffee, you know. Grabbed a cup of coffee. For a few moments, I can blend in. And then Joe came up and said hi to me and welcomed me. That was the first time where I was like, you know, this is the first person that greeted me that he knew that I was new, you know. And it felt good, you know, it felt good to be acknowledged as, like, oh, you're new here. Okay, like, I want to meet you. And just in a brief exchange, you know, I felt cared for. I felt welcomed. And then I was all, like, coming into the sanctuary, it was very hard to find a seat. And so, and it was very dark. So Joe said, like, do you need help finding a seat? And I was like, yes, that'd be great. So he kind of walked me down to, like, the third row, and I sat and just kind of sat at the end of the row. And like I was, there was like a couple sitting to the left of me, but there was like that sort of safety seat in between us, and there was like nobody on my right, and so I mean this isn't a critique for this church, but that was the last time I interacted with anybody for the rest of that morning. I met Joe, and Joe actually turned out to be one of the pastors. So, and they had another service afterwards, so he was kind of busy running around, so I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. But, you know, nobody else said anything to me during or after the service. And, you know, I left feeling very unsatisfied. And I'm not quite sure what I was hoping for. But I think if I had to say it, I was hoping for some kind of a connection, some kind of something that kind of acknowledged that I was there that morning. You know, that it mattered that I was there. I wanted to know more about the people who were there and about the church, and I wanted to be known as well. But I was a stranger. And except for with Joe, I continue to be a stranger. And so it was good for me. It was good. It was good to remember again what that was like. And all of us, you know, at one point, we came through those doors as strangers. We might have known someone here before. Maybe we didn't know anyone at all. But we came not knowing what awaited us on the other side, especially those outer wooden doors. You know, it's like you walk up and you're like, I have no idea what's on the other side of this door. Here we go, right? and as strangers, we wonder, will I be noticed? Will I be cared for here? Will people be happy that I'm here or indifferent? And maybe, I think many of us, you know, we went home that first Sunday feeling as if we were maybe still strangers. But we came back again and again and again. And at some point, we weren't strangers anymore. We made a connection with somebody else. Somebody invited us out for a meal. Somebody invited us to a house group. At some point, we realized, oh, okay, I'm not a stranger here anymore. This is the place where I belong. Like Jenny said earlier, we've been here long enough that to love you and to be loved. To know people here and they know me. But we also must acknowledge that some people come into our fellowship as strangers and they leave as strangers. And their thirst for connection goes unquenched. For whatever reason, they weren't received as a guest. They didn't feel like there was room for them here, that their presence was desired. You know, so we grieve that, you know, and that's, and sometimes it's difficult to understand how that happens. But we grieve when people come and are not received. Because we know on some level that how scary it can be to be the stranger. It's not hard to find strangers in the story of Scripture. Abraham and Sarah became strangers when they followed God's call to leave their home and to follow a place where God would show them. Joseph and his descendants were strangers in Egypt. Ruth, a Moabite woman, was a stranger as she followed Naomi into a new land. And she was received by others and by Boaz and ended up becoming the great grandmother to King David. Christine Pohl describes strangers as those who are disconnected from basic relationships that give persons a secure place in the world. Strangers are disconnected from basic relationships that give people a secure place in the world. And as you look at those stories of Abraham and Sarah and Ruth and Joseph and others, in each situation they experienced great risk and vulnerability and were forced to rely on God God's care and God's protection. And so it makes sense that Israel's memory of themselves as strangers who God loved and welcomed was to form their imagination for how to love and to welcome strangers themselves. And so we heard in Deuteronomy, the Lord your God loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. And you shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. But as we get into the Gospels and the time of Jesus, we find often not compassion, but contempt for strangers. The most vulnerable and powerless, those sick and infirm, the poor, the foreigners, those of dubious reputation, rather than finding protection, healing, relationship, and security in the shelter of God's house, too often were left disconnected from participating with the people of God. Jesus himself comes as a stranger, a child refugee in Egypt, an itinerant preacher dependent on the hospitality of others. And often, Jesus was not received. Even earlier in Matthew chapter 11, earlier than from when our reading began, Jesus pronounces hard words of woe on the towns that rejected him, who were not receptive to his words or his deeds. Places like Chorazin and Bethesda and Capernaum. And when people were considering following Jesus' disciples, he reminded them that even foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. To follow Jesus means sharing in his status as a stranger. It is only as one who knows deeply what it is to be a stranger that Jesus can touch the sick and the broken down, break bread with the wrong sorts of people, visit a wild man possessed, an outcast, to set him free, offer living water to a Samaritan woman, and to welcome children, saying, "Let them come to me." It is only as one who so identifies as a stranger who can say, when you receive one of the least of these, you receive me. Amen. And so it is as a stranger that Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Amen. Christ the stranger made room to receive strangers. And strangers often make the best hosts. Christ made room. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, making room for you and me. He makes room for us at the table. His broken body he serves, his poured out blood, so that we can have peace with God. And even now he prepares a place for us, so that when he returns, he will take us with him to be where he is. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. John 14. Jesus makes room to receive you. In a world where there's so many who daily carry the burden of being a stranger, where so many are kept at arm's length, the good news that we proclaim today is that Jesus makes room to receive. New Testament theologian Christopher Sindall writes this, "Wherever, whenever, however the kingdom manifests itself, it is welcome. It is welcome. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." This invitation is for you and me today. And we cannot forget that we are strangers and aliens in this world. If we follow Christ, we must also share in his status as stranger. And at the same time, we must look to the people and the places where, as strangers, we have been received. I want you to think for a moment, who are the people in your life who have received you and who continue to receive you? Who, when you are in their company, you feel delighted in? Those who have seen you on your best and worst days, maybe, and they still want to be with you. Who seek you out when you're missing, who are curious about all of who you are. You know those kind of people, when you're with them, the burdens feel lighter. You feel relaxed. Your soul feels hugged. Maybe you can even think of some times or some places where you were received. I think about especially the first days or the first weeks in a new place, first weeks of school, first weeks in college. There were people that imprint themselves on me that I maybe only knew for a very brief time, and I have no idea where they're at now, but they received me in that first week when I was really a stranger. For me, often I also think about when a season of support raising, when I was completely a stranger, completely dependent on the hospitality of others. I mean, even just calling up people and saying, I don't have a place to stay tonight. Can I crash on your couch? Sure, I was received. First day of work, maybe, for some of us. First day in a new neighborhood. Somebody hopefully received us. It's these people in these places that remind us that our deepest identity is that we are chosen, that we are loved. They remind us that Christ makes room to receive us. Reminds us of that invitation, come to me and I will give you rest. And yes, this invitation is for you, and it's for me today. But I think it's also, let us also share that invitation alongside the things that are going on in our world today, alongside the cries and the protests for justice by African Americans, for whom racism is not some abstract idea, but in the words of Ta-Nehisi Coates, it's a visceral experience that lands with great violence upon the body. Come to me, all you that are weary. Let us hear these words for Omran, that 5-year-old Syrian boy sitting in the back of an ambulance, covered in the dust and blood of war. And for all those whom we will never see, but for whom he represents. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Let us hear that invitation through the ears of those who have been shunned and shut out, not only from society, but from the church as well. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Henry Nouwen says, we're caught in the net of a suffocating world that accepts or rejects according to its own agenda of effectiveness and control. And so, in the net of this suffocating world that accepts or rejects us, hear this good news. Jesus makes room to receive you. Jesus makes room. Jesus is always making room to receive you. You are not an accident. You are not just one out of millions. You are a divine choice. And the more that this truth settles into our bones, it doesn't make us more self-absorbed. It doesn't make us more self-entitled. The opposite happens. It deepens our desires for others to know that as well, about themselves. For others to know that Jesus has also made room for them, to receive them as well. And so as we begin to talk about life on the vine as a greenhouse of God's presence, it starts with receive. It starts with receive. To receive others into this greenhouse, in order to do that, we must first make room. How do we make room? We make room by rediscovering this lost art of hospitality. And not hospitality as it's imagined in our world today, this idea of entertaining friends or acquaintances. It's not often imagined in terms of like a hospitality industry, hotels and restaurants. But getting back to its ancient roots, ancient Christian roots, where people who are vastly different ate together as equals, and social relations were transformed around tables and in homes, where guests were recognized and valued, not for what they could do for us, but simply because they image God, and because it is in the stranger that Christ comes. What would it be like to be a church that is known for making room for those who are not received anywhere else? To be the kind of place that when people come in, they feel seen and received by God. To be the kind of people who learn to receive others here and throughout the week as if we're receiving Christ. You know, there's sometimes when the preacher needs to exegete the scripture text, and I felt like this week was, I was just prompted to exegete the announcements. Because if you listen, there's a sermon. There was a sermon in the announcements today. Clearbrook and Renee, what Renee brought. Receiving people who don't have any other family. Van Lanningham's. Not only the Van Lanningham's, but Tim's parents receiving them. The book club, place for us to receive voices that we don't normally hear, to hear from one another. The CAC's offering a litany of places and people where they were felt received. Youth being received into homes. Meals being offered to Corderos and Petralias. I know so much of this is already happening. So many of you are already doing this, inviting guests to eat with you after the service, inquiring and listening, making room for other people's stories, allowing our own stories, that's a part of it as well, allowing our own stories and our own lives to be seen and visible to guests. I know many of you are receiving others who work as chaplains and counselors, others through adoption and foster care. Many who are teachers are receiving new students this time of year. Fathers and mothers, we're always receiving our own children and being received. So many places, sharing food with men and women at Albany Park, sharing food together at the open table, the ways that we have offered practical help and friendship to the Alcurdy family, inviting the lonely and busy to our tables. Ah, what a beautiful place. That's the best sermon. Just watching. You all live this out. And I'm looking forward to all the ways that we'll continue to learn how to further step into how we receive others with hospitality. With all of its messiness and all the challenges that we encounter along the way. But it starts with that Christ makes room to receive us. And so, because Christ has made room to receive us, we make room to receive others. And in doing this, we in turn make room to receive Christ through our guest. It comes full circle. So let's pray. I offer this as a response. Feel free to diverge from this. In the same way that you have received me, make room in my heart or our hearts to receive whoever that may be. That maybe God is putting on your heart to receive in this season of life. And say, Lord, in your mercy, and then we'll all join with that prayer by saying, Amen. Let's pray.